Welcome to Cognitive Rampage and the Myths of Fitness Functional Rampage with my friend Naudi Aguilar. I know you have already seen social media posting up about how my man's finally getting seen by the big boys because he needs to be. They've been dodging him, been not paying attention, and soon you're going to just have to. There's going to be no denying this, man. So we started these half an hour segments that we do every Wednesday. We're going to start breaking down individual workouts and the myths that are related to those workouts. So I'm late. I had to restart, so that's all my fault. So apologize for being 14 minutes late now. So I'm not going to take the floor too much. Honestly, I know everybody really just wants to hear you, my brother, go off and do your thing, man. But you doing all right this morning, man?
No, not too bad, man. Like I mentioned before, my puppy's a little bit under the weather, so I'll be having to take him to the vet, but which kind of rattled me a little bit because it's the first time I've had a dog. But so if I'm not fully on point, guys, it's because I'm worried about my little puppy. So I'll do the best that I can and suck it up and see if I can drop some knowledge bombs on you.
All right. Well, I'm going to open up with a nice question that should loosen you up. So we all know, I'm speaking facetiously, if that's a word, that we all know the number one workout that works every muscle group, that makes you stronger, that's the best workout everyone should have, is the squat.
Yeah, that's what we've heard. let me preface this statement by saying this, guys. FP is a very, very unique system. It was built off of traditional methods, so like lunges, even people that did twisting. I got everything that I did from prior inferences. Like I got it from other trainers, from other people. I didn't invent anything. I just built upon what was already created. So when I give my opinions on let's say a squat, yoga, or anything, I am only speaking relative to the innovations I have made after I borrowed techniques or stole ideas from the fitness industry in general. So it's not to say that this doesn't apply to you if you don't do functional patterns. If you don't do FP, this doesn't apply to you. Unless you're the only way you're going to resolve these foibles the only way you're going to be able to really understand what I'm saying is if you try functional patterns. If you don't try functional patterns, what I'm going to say is going to seem like if I'm an asshole, because I'm not saying, okay, well, quit doing squats, go do sit-ups, or quit doing squats, go do yoga, or quit doing squats, go do some other thing. I'm saying quit doing squats and focus on the function of contralateral reciprocation. Oh, well, nobody else does that. So therefore, okay, since nobody else is doing it, I can't point you into another direction other than FP. I established FP as a system because the systems that currently exist don't work. That's my experience. You know, when people are wanting to drop body fat and you use a calories in versus calories out methodology and it doesn't work, you're like, okay, what the hell? You go online, you ask doctors, you go on forums, you ask people, and everybody's like, but it should work. And I know I would have clients that, you know, would be following the calories in versus calories out principle to the fucking T, super disciplined, and they just wouldn't drop body fat. So I'm like, okay, what the hell is going on? Why do they continue to maintain the same amounts of body fat? I then discover the stress response, how people's stress influences estrogen, that influences fat metabolism. And the next thing you know, I start doing things that relate to their stress responses, barely working them out at all, and they start dropping body fat like crazy. So I had to eliminate the prior forms of training because they don't work, right? They conduct scientific research, and I'm going to mention this over and over again from podcast to podcast. The scientific research has set the bar very, very low. The bar is very low in terms of what they deem as being beneficial when it comes to exercise. Nobody is extracting functional patterns and wanting to test it. I'm going to keep repeating this over and over again from podcast to podcast because I am willing to put FP to the test. I am more than willing to go under scientific scrutiny. Not too long ago, I was on a page. If you go on Facebook, it's called Trust Me, I'm a Physiotherapist. They were talking about pain, chronic pain, and they were making a – because I always talk about pain in my videos. And although I don't try and treat pain. I address the root causes that lead to pain. People take it as, okay, he's trying to cure pain or whatever, and the way he's doing it biomechanically is not right. And we get into this big debate on this platform, discussing the difference between acute and chronic pain. And they start talking about, oh yeah, you know, well, you're only dealing with people who are dealing with acute pain, and biomechanics has everything to do with acute pain. And I'm like, no. What the hell do you mean by chronic pain? Since I don't research where they come from, I'm in the field of actually solving problems, not over here doing this. I'm not masturbating on information. I'm not doing that. I'm actually working with people, and I'm trying to resolve their issues. And so, I say, okay, what's chronic pain? And they say, well, anything that lasts 2 or 3 months or longer, anything prior to that could be considered a chronic condition. And I'm like, what the fuck? That's everybody I've ever dealt with. I've dealt with people who've had pain for 5, 10. I've had people who've dealt with pain for 30 fucking years. And through biomechanics, I managed to change their pain response. So by all means, if somebody wants to come to me and test what the fuck I do and test my anecdotal evidence that's now becoming worldwide, by all means, bring it over here. I would love to do it. I would love to work with universities, with physical therapy institutions, because if you guys are saying that chronic pain is just something that lasts 2 or 3 months longer, man, I've managed to address people's pain like 95% of the time. What I was making the assumption under was that when people deal with chronic pain, this is something that they've dealt with after you've tried everything you know, and then you fail. I thought that was a chronic condition. And those are the people that for me have stumped me over my career. I've maybe had like 5 or 6 instances where somebody has a pain and I can't solve it. Like it's probably been about 5 or 6 instances where I can't do nothing about it because my knowledge, I have to fess up, wasn't up to par. Maybe now I could probably do it based upon how I was addressing things before, but relative to that time, I was not able to address the pain symptoms that they were dealing with. But most of the time, I have dealt with people who have had prolonged symptoms of pain and been able to address them with biomechanics. So I'm willing to go through scientific scrutiny. So my point here is, though, in regards to the squat, when I give you an alternative, it's not read this other book from another person, read this other book from another professional. I'm going to preface what I'm saying by telling you all that the application involved in the fitness of the field of training is dismal. It doesn't go far enough. Of course, the theories are there. People have been projecting, well, this is what's going on in terms of my adductors, and that's creating a knee valgus. Okay, those types of things are fine. If you see a knee valgus, a varus, a flat foot, a supinated foot, right? All these things are valid. The theoretical aspects of what physical therapists and physiotherapists and trainers look at, it's relevant. An anterior pelvic tilt is pretty common in our society. I would say an anterior pelvic shift is much worse than an anterior pelvic tilt. But what I'm going to say is that when it comes down to the application, that's where FP completely stands out over the rest. I'm not saying that every other system out there is irrelevant. I'm saying that their application sucks. And that's, at the end of the day, that's 99% of the practice. So if I say that system sucks, it's because it's the truth. The application doesn't work. And if I ask a person, show me the results of your practice, let me see the results of a person's structure changing, their gait cycle being modified, their movement being modified, I never get a single example of that. It's always, I feel better. Now, what do you mean by feeling better? Right? I can smoke crack cocaine right now and feel better. I could, thinking about my little puppy right now, I'm thinking, damn, you know, I could probably do some kind, I could probably take MDMA and that's probably going to make me feel better. But the truth of the situation is, that it's not addressing the issue. I'm just feeling better. Now, with people when they deal with things like squats and things of that nature, they try and make these excuses. They say that they conduct these scientific studies saying that, oh, well, because this athlete could jump higher and apparently run faster for 10 yards, for fucking 10 yards, 10 yards. You can run faster for 10 yards, jump higher. And I forgot what the other thing was, they assumed that because you could do these things better, you all of a sudden became a better athlete. I find it ridiculous that they would even come to these assertions off of this. They're not talking about anything in terms of reactivity, which I mean, the testing itself needs to be much more harsh. It needs to be much more difficult, and that's what I'm working on right now. So I'm covering all this right now because I know I'm going to get a billion excuses that people are going to give us about their precious squat. And I'm going to be, and in that regard, so I don't have to repeat myself, sort of like I've had to 1,000 times on social media. I'm going to preface this by telling you this right now. Unless you show me how your squat mechanics modify a human being's gait cycle or their throwing mechanics, then you can't really say that your squat is doing anything for somebody. Anthropologists have already, you know, they've already confirmed that we are runners and throwers as a priority, that the human shoulder evolved to throw. The human shoulder evolved for running, right? The hip joint, our hip sockets evolved for running. This is what we do as a priority. Our foot is clearly adapted for running. This is what we do. So if you are not capable of modifying how fast somebody can run, about being able to change the efficiency of which they can run and make it more sustainable, then ultimately the squats or whatever lifts you're doing, whatever it is that you're doing with your training, doesn't work. This is a simple fact.
Yeah, well, man, that's a lot to fill in. I mean, we set these social construct type standards, right? How many bench presses can you do? How much weight can you lift? How much squat, right? So it becomes on how big are your pecs? How big are the quads, right? These social constructs tend to set the standard of what improvement or helping really is.
And hold on, Adam. You're taking it to the people that are just solely focusing on aesthetics. I'm talking about function here. Yeah, I'm talking about what functionality is. You get what I mean? Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I wanted to back up into the chronic pain part of it, how you talked about, you know, chronic pain and how they determine whether it's 2 or 3 months. Well, I can tell you, if you're a CrossFitter, if you're a weightlifter, like I was for a long time, and if you play sports of any kind, you generally just get used to walking around in a pain. You just kind of go, you know, for the typical person, yeah, it would be a 6 or a 7, but the typical athlete just calls it a 3 and we go about our day. Now, are what you're addressing is when you say it doesn't work, the fact is over time you end up hurting yourself or destroying your body or your functional patterns over time by focusing on these kind of stagnant workouts or things like the squat.
Well, what I find ridiculous is that people assume that there's apparently no link between a constant acute pain eventually leading into a fucking chronic condition. That's what people don't see. Okay, if you're feeling that small pain over and over and over and over and over again, and you don't address the root that you have that acute problem, then you're screwed. Like for me, I'll get acute pain every once in a while. If I make a biomechanical adjustment that's incorrect, I will feel some kind of an acute symptom of some kind of pain. It's usually just a stiffness in a muscle that goes away within a day or two, or I'll do some myofascial release, learn what I did incorrectly with my mechanical adjustments, and then I completely eliminate it. But in terms of dealing with chronic pain, the chronic pain is just, it's acute symptoms repeated over and over and over and over again. But since in our culture, nobody teaches you this concept called causality, but you don't see the deeper picture here. Right. So when I bag on, I'm just making sure that I preface this right now. So if anybody's watching this and they want to try and make an excuse, which they haven't, people watched the last, every single post that we've made, Adam, how many naysayers have we had? All people have been doing up until this point is avoiding these podcasts. They've been avoiding it because they realize, damn, the bar has been dropped pretty fucking low and we have no excuse for ourselves. So what are we going to do? La, 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 la. I'm going to cover my ears. This is all we're going to do. We're going to act like we're not hearing you, and we're going to scream at the top of our lungs to ensure that we don't hear you. That's what people are doing. So the reason I'm doing this is to eliminate the excuses. That's why I came on here, Adam, is so people who feel that Naudi is an asshole, they understand, okay, Naudi is speaking relative to his background, relative to the results he gets with people, and relative to the results his colleagues are now getting worldwide. So I guess at this point, it's time to open the door on the squat itself. I just wanted to preface this beforehand because I don't want to hear excuses on this. Anthropologists have confirmed, the science of anthropology has confirmed that walking, running, and throwing are the priority of human movement. It's what we do the majority of the time. What are the implications of that? It means that the legs do this. There is an oscillation pattern that goes this way in the legs. There is an oscillation pattern that happens like this in the arms when you walk. There's a rotational dynamic that happens like this in the trunk. There's a slight tilting that happens in the lumbar spine that goes like this. This is biomechanical fact. If you look at a person running, you actually analyze the gait cycle. These are biomechanical facts. These things have to happen if you want a human being to move. The better you optimize these functions, the better a person moves. Now, if I look at something like a squat, what does it train? You squat, you go up like this. You come down, you go up like this. You are training both of your legs to essentially go like this, extend and flex at the same time. When does that apply? People say, well, if you're going to lift something or whatever, you're going to build muscles. I have known when I used to, when I, the short time that I boxed, the short time that I was doing a little bit of Muay Thai and I would spar, the people that had the roughest time in the ring with myself or anybody else were the guys that did all the heavy squats, all the CrossFit, everything like that. Why? Because the body, when you're fighting or when you're doing any athletics, doesn't do this kind of crap. It does this. This is what with the fitness industry, they are not measuring. So if you want your knees to be supported, right? Let's say, for instance, something that happens on a squat that you have to allow it to happen is this thing called shearing force. You ever hear when somebody says, don't let the knees go back past the toes? The reason they say that is because your femurs are going to drive directly into your patellar tendons, into the tendon on your kneecap, just underneath your kneecap. Your femurs are going to drive a shearing force directly on that knee joint. And that's going to eventually lead to knee pain. Now, the question I propose is how much shearing, if somebody's telling you to not do that, now people are saying, well, that's not the case. It doesn't work that way. There's other scientific studies that show that there is no correlation between the knees passing the toes or going forward to a certain degree and knee pain. It's like, we also have to extend, okay, how old are these populations we're dealing with here? You take anybody in their 50s, right? 55 year old male, and you have them do squats and have them do that every single day and then see what ends up happening to their knees or their lower back. Something's going to give out. There's no ways around that. So my perception is I don't think the body is meant to have that much shearing force in general. Can it have shearing force? Absolutely. But when we think about priority of movement, what is the priority of human function? The priority is that we walk, we run, and we throw. And I, for me, it's I can't help but get a little bit frustrated having to say this because I've said this. I mean, fuck, I've said this for probably the last 3-4 years. I've said it over and over and over again. I brought it up in regards to my opinions on CrossFit, and nobody seems to want to pay attention to this. I understand if you want to throw a squat in there, you want to throw your sagittal plane exercises on there, that's fine. Akin, training linearly is okay. But guys, we've really got to start considering, okay, if you do something linear, your body adapts to the linear reality. When you live in life and you think about the movement demands you face on a daily basis, we're talking about a non-linear adaptation, right? Or a non-linear reality, and you need non-linear adaptations in order to deal with those realities. So then some people say, okay, well, this is another excuse. If I do a squat, then you know what? I'll just supplement it with some Ito Portal methods. I'll do some touch butt along with it and some yoga, and that's going to make it three-dimensional. No, it doesn't work because most of those exercises that you see done are not done on 2 feet. Most people rarely do exercise on 2 feet bilaterally, right? Or unilaterally, where they're doing this kind of motion. You don't see this function in the fitness industry, guys, which is fundamentally why I say people can't grasp what I'm saying, and they feel frustrated because they feel like unless they do functional patterns, they can't do this anywhere else. And the truth of the matter is there are other people that do it. They just don't do it very well. So what's my point in all this? Maybe 5% of your life, if you're lucky 5% of the life and you have a job where you're doing this all the time, you're going to be lifting things. You're going to be operating in a linear reality. But when you think about movement demands that you encounter the most, the next time you go walk to your car, the next time you go walk to the kitchen, that's walking. You're walking. Most of the functions that you need to worry about with your body is related to walking. It is clear if you look at the adaptation of a chimpanzee. I was talking to a colleague of mine just a few days ago. Chimpanzees can't. So as I rotate my torso like this, chimpanzees can't. How would you put it? Counter rotate their cervical spine. They do this whenever they try and walk. They can't rotate. If they try rotating their T spine, it doesn't happen.
So does every bodybuilder in the world walk like that?
Kind of. Absolutely. They pretty much do walk like that. It really is crazy, guys. I think this whole notion of a squat, it's the most overrated exercise, one of the most overrated exercises. A few years ago, everybody was talking about deadlifts. I completely just shit on deadlifts, destroyed it. I'm going to make a video destroying it just because I know I'm not going to catch as much heat now because the fitness industry has finally wised up and said, you know what? That kind of is hurting my lower back, you know? And some people say, oh, it's a form thing, you know? If you do deadlifts, all you have to do is improve your form. No, because your legs are still doing this, right? That means this action right here, guys, when your hip flexors go this way to pull your femur forward, right? kind of your hip flexors. There's other facet. There's other muscles that pull that forward. But when your leg does this and your glute max does this, right? That decompresses your spine. Every time you step that way, that is taking away vertical pressure on your spine. When you do a deadlift, you're programming yourself to deal with pressure without having this kind of tension on your body.
Hence,
that is why
lower back issues and knee issues.
So, yes. So this has nothing to do with deadlift form. At some point, yes, the way that you do have your form on a deadlift is going to save you. But man, here's one story that I have. It's this guy from the UK. Him and I got into a heated discussion in regards to this, and he had magnificent form on his Olympic lifting. Fucking magnificent, unbelievable technique on his Olympic lifting. And so I look at his videos. I'm like, damn, you know, his technique is solid. But I kept telling him, there is no way your lumbar spine can deal with that kind of pressure, especially if you're doing back squats or you're doing anything with an axial load, especially like if you're dealing with a compression on your neck, that's referring down. That's going to eventually crush your lumbar spine. So I look at this guy and he's like, well, I'm 45 years old and I've never had a single problem. I know he has had problems with little acute issues that for the average person would be considered chronic issues because pain is relative. I know he's probably had problems. He was just in denial of it. And of course, he would never admit that to me, right? Until one of my students comes down who happened to be a friend of his who was very close to him that says, hey, yeah, so it turns out my buddy, the guy that's over there, has been bedridden for 2 to 3 fucking weeks because he wound up because he threw out his lower back, barely picking something up. He picked up something light after the day before he had been doing a heavy set of Olympic lifting.
Oh,
I can't help but look at situations like this where this guy's form is damn near flawless and he gets hurt doing that. The key point is, guys, you can't do exercises that are not suitable for humans to do with perfect form and expect for the human to adapt. You can't expect a fish to move on land almost all the time and then you put it into fish and then that it's going to swim normally. The truth of the matter is, are the adaptations that you put in your training reflecting the demands that you face in reality? That's the question we need to ask ourselves. The set principle states this, a specific adaptation to impose demands. Squats deal very little with the demands of going on in reality. Now, is this to say that I don't like squats? I'm not opposed to doing a squat. I'm not opposed to doing sagittal plate lifts. Am I opposed to putting a barbell on your back as you do a squat? Absolutely. That's going to be destructive to your spine. There is no way that that's not going to be destructive to your spine. You're creating a vertical compression. Here's something to consider. There's this function that I call, you know, rib elevation, where you go like this and you elevate your ribs. It's a very important function you need to have in order to, you know, have the physiological capability of ingesting oxygen. That's kind of an important function in life as well. If your rib cage is crushed, you can no longer inhale to the same degree that you have before. Now, I've dealt with people who lift. I do this all over the world. And believe it or not, this function, right, where I'm lifting and dropping my ribs, is almost completely missing in society today. You rarely ever see that anybody can do that. Fitness people, physical therapists, osteopaths, chiropractors, doesn't matter who the fuck it is. Professional athletes, I've dealt with multiple professional athletes. I deal with this problem all the time. And those people can't perform this function of elevating their rib cage. So
is that the is this years of lifting, compression, etc.? I mean,
it's gravity whooping your ass and you having no idea how to counter gravity.
And
that's what it is.
And sitting poorly for years. What do we sit 8-9 hours out of the day? So all the sitting,
you know what? Sitting is another topic we can save for another time, and we'll save that one for the future, because sitting, as I'm knowing it now, is one of the most overrated adaptations that people have. Sitting is tertiary as far as I'm concerned now. So the sitting, it's the sitting building a pattern and then your movement then ingraining that pattern. The sitting then has very little to do with that after a certain point. So after, I'd say, about the age of 9 or 10 years old, the sitting is irrelevant. It's the movement patterns that you develop between the ages of probably 6 until 9 years old. While you've been sitting, the brain makes an association, and then after that, it's the associations your body makes to its neuromuscular system that then influence the compression going on your body. So this is just a software malfunction is what it is. The software has malfunctions, and then within time that turns into a hardware malfunction, and then the system shuts down. The actual physical system of the human body shuts down. Now, when you decide to throw a bar, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, so when someone says there's a proper way to do a squat, I mean, this essentially is, I mean, I get it that we're working on a work. I mean, you saw it yesterday. Someone posted the video of the CrossFit guys running the suicides and the cameraman outruns them.
Well,
you could see the struggle to just do a human function like run.
Yes, I found that. I saw that same post and I was like, wow, that's crazy. You know, the announcers are like, oh my God, Mick Fanning or whatever his name. I don't even know what his name, Rich Froning or whoever the hell it was. Oh, he's running and he just blew away from the pack and everybody's shouting and screaming. And then I'm looking at the cameraman at the very bottom of the screen. He's holding, I mean, these cameras aren't light. These cameras are probably at least at the, I have some high end cameras myself, but they're not at the level that they have. And my cameras weigh about like 20 to 25 pounds. I guarantee you he was probably carrying a 40 pound camera there, and he was outrunning these CrossFit athletes, these so-called fittest men on the planet. He was outrunning them with the camera in his hand as he was crouching down. He wasn't even able to use this thoracic rotation, propel his extensions with his arms or flex. He would have smoked them had he not been holding that camera, and he pretty much did smoke them anyway. So what does that tell you is if you're having people do these squats, all these sagittal plane lifts like CrossFitters do, everything's in the sagittal plane, whether it's the rings, the squats, whatever that may be, then you have to ask yourself, is that going to deteriorate my ability to perform human activities, which are things like running and walking? And for my estimation, from what I've seen, this is all that seems to be the case. People are destroying their structure and having no clue. They act as if they have no clue. Right now I'm revealing it, and nobody's wanted to admit that I'm right about this. I have been saying this for years, that weightlifting in the way it's done, yoga in the way it's done, gymnastics in the way it's done, every single fabric of the way people train is wrong. And of course people say, well, you're an arrogant bastard. You're going to say that everybody's been wrong. You're going to say, you can't say that everybody's been wrong up until this time. I can say that. And what's going to justify that with time are the results that people are going to have. People went from the extremes of going from P90X to then jumping onto CrossFit. Now everybody's doing the heavy lifting. Now everybody's doing the touch butt. They are going to create a slew of issues that no physical therapist can address. And that's why physical therapists are now having to employ functional patterns, because they're not able to keep up with the demands that these people are doing, the destruction that these people are doing with themselves with all this traditional bull crap that's going on. But the key point is, guys, yeah, go ahead, Adam.
Well, I was going to reference a lot of football players. I know old football players that have been through the ringer, man. And we all know, you know, that the average age is about 55, 56 for those long-term professional athletes before they die, man.
Yep.
And I've met a few. Daryl Talley is a guy I see a lot at Morton Steakhouse over here, and Dr. Phillips. And when you see Daryl Talley, 2-3-time all-pro linebacker for the Bills, he played for years. He was a man. And the dude walks away and he's got to slide his feet because the knees are gone. You know, they're gone. And you could say it's from all the hitting and all the whatever, but remember, they only play once a week and they practice very light during the week. So, I mean, but they are squatting, they're leg pressing, they're doing all
they do that heavy. They do that real fucking hard. Don't even get me started on athletes, bro. Because this is people's justification most of the time, and I'm glad you brought this up. Well, high-level athletes do it. Usain Bolt does all this stupid shit, so that must mean that I do it too. Sorry, guys. I'm going to tell you this right now. Athletes are not programmed to think or reason. They're programmed to become mindless fucking genetic specimens when it comes to their movement. That's it. They're not programmed to think. They are very, very disconnected in terms of their brain and their body in terms of this concept. Yeah, go ahead.
They're reactionary. Athletes are trained to be reactionary.
Absolutely. They're not trained to think over the long term. Athletes are trained to think impulsively. So if you think that because high-level professional athletes do this, you should do it too, that's one of the fucking stupidest things you could ever say. If you're going to say that every high-level athlete does it, so I should do it too, then what about the millions of athletes every single year that get injured by these same types of training and fail in their athletic career doing the same exact bullshit? We have to consider that as well. Then you guys will say, well, it's genetic advantage or whatever. I am not talking about, okay, well, when you train an athlete, we're saying, okay, we're limiting them to their genetic potential. What I am saying is that we exceed their genetic potential. How do you find a way to exceed their biological characteristics? How do you get them to exceed past where they're at right now? Well, that's by catering to the strength of these types of functions. If you focus on that, if you focus on these contralateral reciprocations, then in that regard, it becomes very obvious to me how you can improve function on a human being. That's another ridiculous excuse people say. Well, I do squats because high level athletes do squats. That's very stupid reasoning. It's very short term thinking. Most of you are not being paid to destroy your body the way that you do. And even if athletes knew better, and which they do, because whenever I work with a couple of guys here, and every time they come to me, they're like, oh, I have no energy and I can barely move. My knees hurt. My lower back is stiff. And I tried the stupid crap the athletic trainer did, and that's not working. And I'm like, okay, just do this with your hand. You go like this and then tilt your ribcage towards that direction. Now move your entire ribcage the opposite direction. Now bring your hand down. Now slightly push the hand up. Okay, retract your navel. Okay, now push off the right outer blade of your foot, pulling with your right inner foot. Oh, damn, the pain's gone. Yeah, in fucking 30 seconds, the pain's completely fucking gone. Ooh. Why? Because I focus on contralateral reciprocations, right? While everybody's saying that biomechanics has nothing to do on pain, I can't help but look at something like that and be like, okay, I look at these football players' spines and it looks like they're being smashed. It looks like a smashed spine. Football isn't doing that to them. It's the lifting, the stupid, nonsensical lifting that's doing this to them. It's ridiculous. And I can't help but feel for the people who are buying into these lies. They buy into these dogmas because high-level PhDs, doctors, all these people say, yeah, these things are okay. And it plants a bug in their head thinking that it's like, okay, the doctors can't be wrong. But I'm sorry, every single civilization has been wrong about what they do. That's why things evolve. That's why things change. That's why we are I'm on a cellular device right now talking to Adam Lowry over a podcast, because somebody said, no, the way we are doing things right now is wrong. We need to upgrade what we are doing. That is precisely what I'm speaking right now. The relative to science, the science of anthropology, it is clear what the human being needs in terms of movement. There is no doubt about that. We know what we need is movement. We need to walk better and we need to throw better. If we're talking about human functions, we have to talk about running and throwing. Squatting is very small on that totem pole. Like I said, I do squats. I made a video before on how to perform a squat without hurting yourself. You guys can look at that on my YouTube channel. It's completely free. I even elaborate more deeply on the biomechanical tendencies that tend to leave a person with getting injured when they do something like a squat. You guys can look that up. Just go on the Functional Patterns YouTube channel or my website. I put it up maybe about a month and a half ago. But in regards to this notion that I find it frustrating that it's so hard for people to accept this, but I completely empathize with it, because had I listened to somebody tell – for you know what? One, the squat is one exercise I wouldn't do. My lower back and my knees were like, I don't want to do that shit. No matter what I tried doing to adjust my body, my knees and my lower back would get completely deteriorated from that from high school. The coaches would be like, you need to do your squats. I'd be like, no, it hurts my knees. I'm not doing that. I tried doing it in my early career when I was at 24-hour fitness. People were telling me, okay, anteriorly tilt your pelvis at the bottom, posteriorly tilt your pelvis at the top. My knees still hurt. My lower back would still hurt. My neck would feel stiff as shit the next day. There is no reason to do these types of exercises. Some people say, well, you know what? How are you going to build mass? How are you going to build muscles? Hey, guys, I got news for you. There are muscles called your serratus anterior, your pec major, your obliques, your lats, your glutes, your quads. And guess how they evolved? You want to know how all these muscles evolved in the way that they look now? By doing this. If you put resistance on these functions in the proper way, like we do at Functional Patterns, and you build resistance, guess what your quads do? They volumize. They get bigger. But not just bigger at a superficial level. We have to start talking about layers of muscles. When we start talking about muscles, everybody just talks about, okay, I got activation of this muscle. When you perform an EMG, which I'm going to maybe deal with the EMG scanners to see if muscles are getting activation. But the problem is EMGs don't tell you at what layer muscles are firing. And I know most people are like, dude, that's just stupid to be discussing that. There are no layers to muscles. It's like, yes, there are, because you have external obliques that are superficial. You have internal obliques that are deeper in terms of your abdominals, and you have your transverse abdominis, which is even deeper. There are layers to muscles. Muscles aren't one layer, and they operate individually. They have to. They have to work that way in order for the body to be propelled to move forward, right? There needs to be a deep layer and a superficial layer of tissues. The deep layer counters the superficial counters the deep. That's the way biomechanics works. You can't have, okay, one layer muscle activity. So when you do squats, deadlifts, Olympic lifting, snatches, rings, touch butt, all this Ido Portal crap, what people don't realize is all they're doing is stimulating superficial musculature. So when you touch their muscles and the surface, it feels like fucking water. I drop my elbow and it feels like concrete over the once I get deeper from the superficial, there's no volume in the tissues. I notice this with athletes all the time. You'll see them have a big fucking quad, and then you touch their IT band, and it's like a fucking rock. Within a matter of a few weeks, when they work with me, I will touch their quad, and it's nice and plump. It's like when you think about getting a sausage, you want a plump sausage where it's like thick from the skin all the way down to the deeper portions. The way I compare people is like, okay, it's kind of liquid at the top, and it's a dry sausage in the middle. That's how most people's muscles are. But most people, they can't extract this information. It's just too far ahead of what people are thinking. And again, all we're doing this, I told you from before, I'm not even going to keep this shit as a secret, Adam. I told you from before in a private conversation, all we are doing this fucking podcast for right now is so in 3-4 years, we can cite it back and tell people, ha, 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 I fucking told you so. It's happening right now. It's absolutely happening right now. But I want to keep doing this so that way we predict it. There are layers to muscle activity. There's tissue activation that happens at the bone, and it has to come outward. It doesn't happen superficially and then come inward. That doesn't work. That does not work. And again, show me the results of what you do. Go ahead.
Yeah, man. Well, we posted a video. You and I shared the one with the monkeys in the cage and being rained and had some water sprayed on them as one goes up for the banana. After a while, everyone just beats every monkey that goes up for the banana, and they don't even know why. And, you know, a lot of that we talk about indoctrination. And when you talk about the water filled, the superficial muscle, well, those are the shows that you see, right? The bodybuilding shows all bubbled up in one spot, right? Focusing on different areas. And a lot of those people can't move. They don't move freely. They deal with injuries completely. We talked about it with the CrossFit guys running. I mean, there's so much indoctrination that comes in from a marketing standpoint, just from a group think standpoint, that people just push down. But don't forget, you know, as I'll always try to remind everybody, back to the mental health state. Back before Sigmund Freud was brave enough, everyone used to think that when you were mentally ill, you either had bad chemicals or you had certain colors in you or you had a demon. And then all of a sudden, Freud out of nowhere pops up and says, no, it's because you want to have sex with your mom. Now, at that time, that man is insane. But he is the grandfather of psychology that led us to conscious, the subconscious. That somewhere, I've said it before when I interviewed Stephen Kotler, and I'll say it with you, somewhere between the evolution of the monkey and the man, we had that middle monkey. And as the man moves forward from here, we still got to be that middle monkey somewhere, man. And it's guys like Freud, Ellis, Aguilar, you know, that are the middle monkeys, man. And Kotler and Dr. Gabor Mate. I mean, these are the middle monkeys that are moving us forward to whatever our next evolution will be, man.
Well, I'd like to think so. I'd like to think that I haven't been convincing myself that every time I just have somebody do a little thing here after they've had fucking 30 years of pain and then it goes away within a matter of a week or two, that it's gone about 90% of the time, where it was there 95% of the time to 100% of the time, they'd pop morphine and then the pain still wouldn't go away. That when I make that go away biomechanically, I'd like to think that wasn't my delusion or that I was that convincing of that, because oftentimes I still get that accusation. For that, this isn't just from a small population, this is from the majority. People say, well, that's just placebo that's working out there. Well, I'll tell you guys this much right now, I have no credentials. I have no, other than my personal training certifications, I have no credentials, right? Nothing. I don't have a fucking doctorate. I don't even have a bachelor's degree. I didn't even get an associate's. I barely graduated high school. The only reason I graduated high school was because I dumbed all my classes down. And I took a PE zero period. That's the only reason I should have been a high school dropout.
Well, you're less indoctrinated, man, the way I see it. You're less indoctrinated.
Of course. Absolutely. And that's Jock Fresco. He dropped out of school when he was 13 years old. And he's the most relevant thinking human being I've ever seen in my entire existence. In terms of, he still has, we're all limited by certain parameters of thought based upon our relative experience. But at the end of the day, he's the most well-rounded person. He's 100 years old and still coherent. But the main point I'm going to make is that if you have a doctor who has gone through endless amounts of education, ridiculous amounts of education, and that doctor gives a recommendation for a person to feel better, based upon the placebo effect, that doctor should be able to get the result that I'm not able to get. But instead, I'm being accused of being, oh yeah, it's your placebo. You're just so fucking convincing. Why would a short little Mexican living in the United States, where a presidential candidate like Donald Trump might get elected calling Mexicans fucking rapists, Why would a Mexican like myself, a tiny little Mexican, not a tall person, a short little Mexican like myself with no education, be able to override these symptoms that they're dealing with? Tell me why that would work. Tell me where in your psychology does it say, okay, whatever you do, the person that's going to convince you of your pain responses being eliminated is a short little fucking Mexican. That's a short little Mexican without an education. That's who's going to convince you of your pain problems. Are you kidding me? Come on, guys. You're going to say that that's the case. That's just not the way it works. And I can't help but be frank, guys. I know it's like I don't sound professional in the way that I communicate myself, because relative to where I'm from, it doesn't matter what the fuck you say. It matters what you do. What are you capable of? You could sit there and kiss my ass all day, but if we're on a deserted island, right, and you're the person constantly asking for food and not providing food and not providing any value, you got to go. You got to get the fuck off the island. You got to get banished. That's the world that I live in. But that's the world that everybody lives in. They just choose not to accept that. And I'm sorry, guys, that I can't sugarcoat these types of things. I'm sorry for many of you that think, you know, Naudi's kind of an asshole in terms of his approach. But I'm just trying to help you. That's really all it is. Let me backtrack. I'm trying to help you so you don't make my life a fucking living hell. I'm trying to help you so when I don't have to change apartments in my complex when I hear this guy in a Harley Davidson just going, bruh. I don't want to deal with that crap, because the reason he's doing that is because he's dealing with an insecurity. He's dealing with an inferiority complex. I don't want to deal with that shit. So I'm going to try and give you a shortcut to make you realize, you know what you actually need is more silence in your life. You need to get out to nature. That's the way you're going to heal. That's the way you're going to find balance. I'm just trying to help you. Of course, I'm trying to help me because I don't want to deal with idiots. I just don't like dealing with that. So, of course, I'm doing all this selfishly. So let's put it that way. But I say this at the end of the day, so that way when we're on this island, we can all survive on this island together, and we can keep eating food and we can be happy and all this good shit. Okay. The point is, when I bash your squats, I'm not bashing you. I'm bashing an indoctrinated belief that you have. And you have no clue why that belief is even there in the first place. If you believe that athletes are the people that you should follow, you are mistaken. That is another indoctrination that you have. People, it shouldn't be athletes going to schools talking to kids. It should be going to schools talking to kids, saying the indoctrination that you see or that you have within you are bullshit. We need to relinquish these bullshit indoctrinations. Robert Sapolsky needs to be going to schools, into elementary schools, talking about the stress response, talking about how the institutions that exist today are corrupt. These are the types of indoctrinations you need. But instead, you get something from athletes. Be like, you look up to athletes like fucking crazy. So guess what you do when you're an adult? You idolize athletes, and then you say, well, athletes squat, so yeah, that's exactly what I'm going to do. I don't idolize athletes. I grew up idolizing them. Barry Sanders was my hero. Allen Iverson was my hero. Tim Hardaway was my hero. Julio Cesar Chavez was my hero. But I'm sorry, guys. These aren't the examples that we need to follow when it comes to this life. We have people like Michio Kaku, Stephen Hawking, Elon Musk. We have Dr. Gabor Mate. We have all these amazing people that are around that we can behave like, that are actually smart. We need to stop with this nonsense of just copying athletes, because that's the root of a lot of this problem, is that everybody says, well, the athletes do it. They look big and buff, so that's what we need to do. We need just to change our values and say, being smart is cool. Being smart is sexy. That's what we need to do. That's the root of the problem.
That's right, man. Well, you're right, right? Eat your Wheaties, right? Buy your Jordans. Right, I mean, that's marketing, my friend. I mean, we've given them an extra 10 minutes for being late, man. So what are we gonna go after next? What I see us kind of doing is doing kind of the spoon-fed walk-in to FP, you know, starting with functional, starting. Yep. So, I mean, what would be next on the list that to knock out that is a huge misconception causing pain?
I don't know. What do you think, man? I mean, pick something. What's something that you – pick something that people hold really fucking dear in exercise today. Today, you pick it, and I'm sure I'll probably be able to poke a fucking hole in it, because this society is just so goddamn ridiculous.
Let's cover, we've been all lower body. Let's go bench press.
Oh, okay. I love it. Let's go bench press. It'll be a very similar podcast to this one. Again, we are living in a false society, so that is another indoctrination that people also need to relinquish themselves from. This is going to be a fun one. Be sure to tune in. This is going to be real, real fucking fun.
Oh, man, I love having you on, dude. I honestly look forward to it. I woke up this morning about 5 o'clock and text you. I was like, I text him. Oh, shit, he's in Seattle. I think I just texted him at like 3:30, man. I was like, hey, let's go. You ready? Man, I get hyped up for the day, man.
Hell yeah, man. That's dope, dude. But yeah, like I said, guys, don't take what I say personally. Just take it as a nice little slap in the face to kind of wake you up and tell you, hey, it's time to start worrying about our health. You don't learn that health is valuable until your health is taken away from you. Your health is going to get taken away from you, guys. You're not going to be in your 20s forever. At some point, you're going to be 35, 40. You're going to get older. And it's up to you to make that a graceful aging or a not graceful aging. It's up to you to make that. I want to be able to run until I'm 120 years old biologically before the we put nano chips inside of our body. I want to be able to get to 100 years old to be able to run. That's my ambition. I know most people don't have that ambition. That's a completely unrealistic goal. That is my fucking goal, and that's what I'm going to accomplish if I keep sticking to this mission. I hope that other people come along with me.
Well, here's your prediction, 75 years early, man. So when you start,
hell yeah,
you're going to look this up when I'm dead and gone. I mean, I know what you're speaking is true here, brother. I mean, I know it touches home, and I like to connect it mentally like I do at the end and tell everybody, man, if you find yourself responding to what Naudi is saying with periods at the end of your statements, then I'm telling you, you're wrong. That these are concrete statements that you're making, and I would suggest just make the period a question mark and start there. And don't just recite indoctrinations because he said, don't be another monkey in the cage beating up another one going for the bananas. Well, just because that's what we do around here.
Hey, Adam, this is why I'm choosing this fucking podcast, just so you know, because you actually get it. That's why I was on a fairly popular one yesterday, and there's a reason I'm probably not going to be on it, but this is why I'm sticking to the Cognitive Rampage, because of that shit. Thank you.
Thank you, man. I appreciate you being around. I appreciate you being my friend. Whether we did this show or not, man, I would be grateful to have you in my life, man. I appreciate
it. I love the shit.
Yeah, dude.
Awesome, brother.
I love the heck out of you, dude. I love what the hell you do, man. And we'll talk, I'm sure, before next Wednesday anyway, man. But, man, keep changing the world, brother. You're not alone out here, bro. Cognitive Rampage.
Hey, fuck yeah. We're here. We're in this together, bro. Hell yeah. Let's do this shit.
All right, man. I'll see you next week, bud.
Take care, brother.